Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, July the 12th, 2019. And we see that today the weather is going to be 84 and mostly sunny with a nice cool 65 this evening. And I hope you're going to enjoy that day. Our first story is about some summer fun that's going on and summer learning. The title is Hola, Bonjour, and you have a picture of an adorable little 8-year-old guy out of Bloomington who shouts out French words during the Illinois Wesleyan University Language School Tuesday at Buck Memorial Library. The class is teaching students to speak French and Spanish through fun and games. Learning languages. Children study French, Spanish at IWU Minicamp. Chalk drawings of planets outside of Buck Memorial Library at Illinois Wesleyan University, with names such as Mercure and Terre written next to them, are the first clues that something different is going on. Inside, youngsters in one classroom work on an art project of Système solaire. The solar system. While on the other side of the hall, another group of children listens to a story about cielo nocturno, the night sky, and recite the colors of the stars, blanco, azul, rojo, amarillo. And then there's another picture of Wesleyan University Spanish teacher Maria Chambers pointing out the days of the week to her class Tuesday in the IWU Language School, students learning to speak again French and Spanish. The article continues that it's all part of a summer mini camp language school at IWU, where children are learning French or Spanish language and culture through music, art, and games. The IWU Language School for Kids was started in 2015 through an IWU Doniker Program Innovation Grant and is the initiative of the Language Resource Center. It includes a weekly hour and a half Saturday school in fall and spring, plus the 5-day mini camp going on this week. The value is exposing kids to another language and to other cultures, says Sharla Brown Aya, co-director of the program. They experience something new and interact with other kids. Tony Williams of Normal said his 9-year-old daughter, Isabella, has been taking French class for 2 years. She got interested because she was doing a ballet and there were a lot of French words, said Williams. She's really interested in learning all kinds of stuff. Isabella is even trying to teach French to her father. Kimberly Burgess of the Bloomington has a son, Joshua, in the Spanish class. The 5-year-old is so interested in languages, he sometimes switches languages on her phone or TV, she said. He can count and say his colors, says Burgess. The fact that teachers are using the solar system as a base for lessons is an extra bonus. He's really excited about space, Burgess said of her son. There are 28 children in the school. 15 are learning French and 13 are learning Spanish. The school accepts students who are 3.5 through 5th grade. We know the kids are not going to become fluent during a 1-week class, said Brown Aya, but it gives them an ear for it, and they have a positive relationship with learning a new language. Burgess said she intends to bring her son back in the fall for the Saturday school. Rico Morales of Bloomington, who formerly taught at IWU and was involved in starting the language school, says she is delighted to see it continuing. The school contributes to the diversity and engagement in the community. I'm very proud, she said. Among the school's goals are creating awareness of the importance of early language proficiency, introducing children to language learning, and promoting cross-cultural areas and sensitivity. And this was presented by Lenore Sabota, and you can reach her on Twitter at page/Sabota. Continuing with the idea of space, here's some new space news. Japan lands a space probe on asteroid. A Japanese spacecraft landed on a distant asteroid on Thursday and collected underground samples that scientists hope will provide clues to the origin of the solar system billions of years ago, Japan's space agency said. The Hayabusa 2 spacecraft had created a landing crater on the rocky asteroid in April by dropping a copper impactor. It landed inside that crater on Thursday and collected samples that scientists believe contain valuable data unaffected by space radiation and other environmental factors. Hayabusa 2 is the first spacecraft to successfully collect underground samples from an asteroid. A similar mission is planned by the United States National Aeronautics and Space Administration on another asteroid named Bennu. The article continues on page A2. That the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency, otherwise known as JAXA, said data show that Hayabusa 2 touched down and rose safely after collecting the samples. The moment the success was announced, at the command center, everyone stood up and cheered and applauded. It was a success, a big success, said Takashi Kabuta, a Hayabusa 2 project member. We achieved success in all scheduled procedures. JAXA said the samples have been safely placed in the container, which will be moved to a capsule for secure storage. We obtained pieces of the history of the solar system. We took a historic step, said Yaichi Tsuda, the Hayabusa 2 project manager. Nobody has collected and brought home underground materials from anywhere other than the moon. And asteroids are rocky remnants left from the formation of the solar system. With one of its most critical missions now finished, the next task is to get Hayabusa 2 to safety and to safely return to Earth with the samples. The asteroid, named Raigu after an undersea dragon palace in a Japanese folktale, is about 180 million miles from Earth. Hayabusa 2 is expected to leave the asteroid later this year and return home at the end of next year. The asteroid, about 900 yards in diameter, is extremely rocky on its surface and has signs of organic compounds, scientists say. Hayabusa 2 made a similar landing at another location on the asteroid in February and collected topsoil samples. The spacecraft started its gradual descent to the asteroid on Wednesday. In the final landing phase Thursday, it hovered at a height of 100 feet and quickly found its landing marker left from the earlier mission. The actual landing lasted only a few seconds. It extended its sampling tube to the ground in a pinball-sized bullet to break open the surface and sucked up the debris that was blasted off. The landing was a challenge for Hayabusa 2 because of the risk of getting it hit by dust and debris remaining at the crater, Kabuta said. JAXA plans to send the spacecraft closer to the asteroid again as early as next week to examine the landing site from above. So children are learning about the solar system in other languages, and we find that even across the globe, everyone's interested in space. So now we look at some of the more solemn questions here in our country, and this is about Immigration Enforcement Operations SET. This is off the Associated Press, and the Trump administration is moving forward with the nationwide immigration enforcement operation targeting migrant families. Despite loud opposition from Democrats and questions over whether it's the best use of resources given the crisis at the border, the operation could happen as soon as this weekend after being postponed by President Donald Trump late last month. It would pursue people with final deportation orders, including families whose immigration cases were fast-tracked by judges in 10 major cities such as Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, and Miami. It has sparked outrage and concern among immigration rights advocates and lawmakers. Our communities have been in constant fear, Estelle Vera, a Chicago area organizer, said Thursday at a rally outside the city's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office, where some activists chanted, "Immigration, not deportation." The sweep remains in flux and could begin this weekend or later, according to two administration officials who were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly and spoke on condition of anonymity. And in the front page here, we see a picture of the Moni Reus Velasco, who is the center director for PASO, Western Suburban Action Project, who is with the demonstrators following a news conference Thursday outside of the U.S. Immigration Services in Chicago. The article continues on page A2. To report that the American Civil Liberties Union preemptively filed a lawsuit on Thursday in an attempt to protect asylum seekers. Meanwhile, activists have ramped up efforts to prepare by bolstering Know Your Rights pocket guides and circulating information about hotlines and planning public demonstrations, vigils outside the detention center, and other hundreds of locations nationwide. We're set for Friday evening, that's this Friday, to be followed by protests Saturday in Miami and Chicago. The operation is similar to ones conducted regularly since 2003, after often produce hundreds of arrests. It's slightly unusual to target families as opposed to immigrants with criminal histories, but it's not unprecedented. The Obama and Trump administrations have targeted families in previous operations. But this latest effort is notable because of the politics swirling around it. Trump announced on Twitter last month that the sweep would mark the beginning of a push to deport millions of people who are in the country illegally, a near impossibility given the limited resources of ICE, which makes the arrests and carries out the deportation orders. Then he abruptly canceled the operation after a phone call with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi while lawmakers worked to pass a $4.6 billion border aid package. Plus, details had leaked and authorities worried about the safety of the ICE officers. The agency said in a statement that it would not discuss specifics about enforcement operations. As always, ICE prioritizes the arrests and removal of unlawful present aliens who pose a threat to national security, public safety, and border security, according to their statement. And then we're going to go back to page one. And the final discussion on page one emphasizes that Trump abandons census question. Agencies are to compile citizenship data. And this is, again, an Associated Press article, which states President Donald Trump abandoned his controversial bid to inject a citizenship question into next year's census Thursday instead directing federal agencies to try to comply to compile the information using existing databases. He insisted he was not backing down, declaring in the Rose Garden announcement that the goal was to simple and reasonable, a clear breakdown of the number of citizens and non-citizens that make up the United States population. But the decision was clearly a reversal after the Supreme Court blocked his effort by disputing his administration's rationale for demanding that census respondents declare whether or not they were citizens. So let me kind of go back through that. The Supreme Court blocked an effort by the president and disputed his administration's rationale. And the rationale was that census respondents would declare whether or not they were citizens. Trump had said last week that he was very seriously considering an executive order to force the question. But the government has already begun the lengthy and expensive process of printing the census questionnaire without it. And such a move would surely have drawn an immediate legal challenge. Instead, Trump said Thursday that he would be signing an executive order directing every federal department and agency to provide the Commerce Department with all records pertaining to the number of citizens and non-citizens in the country. Here the article continues on page A2. And starts out that Trump's efforts to add the question on the decennial census or the 10-year census had drawn fury and backlash from critics who complained that it was political, meant to discourage participation not only by people living in the country illegally, but also by citizens who fear that participating would expose non-citizen family members to repercussions. Dale Ho, director of the American Civil Liberties Union Voting Rights Project, and the lawyer who argued the Supreme Court case, celebrated Thursday's announcement by the president, saying, "Trump's attempt to weaponize the census ends not with a bang, but a whimper." Trump said his order would apply to every agency, including the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration. The Census Bureau already has access to Social Security, food stamps, and federal prison records, all of which contain citizenship information. Trump, citing Census Bureau projections, predicted that using previously available records, the administration could determine the citizenship of about 90% of the population or more. Ultimately, this will allow us to have a more complete count of citizens than through asking the single question alone, he contended. But it is still unclear what Trump intends to do with the citizenship information. Federal law prohibits the use of census information to identify individuals. Though that restriction has been breached in the past. At one point, Trump suggested it could help states that may want to draw state and local legislative districts based upon voter-eligible population. That would mark a change from how districts are drawn currently based on the entire population and could increase Republican political power. Civil rights groups said the president's efforts had already sown fear and discord in vulnerable communities, making the task of an accurate count even harder. The damage has already been done, said Lisette Escobado of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials Educational Fund. The Census Bureau had stressed repeatedly that it could produce better citizenship data without adding the question. In fact, the Bureau had recommended combining information from the annual American Community Survey with records held by other federal agencies that already included citizenship records. And that concludes the articles from page 1 and page A2. Let's get on to a little more fun item, and this is, of course, Flick's Fact. In terms of actual size of the following, which is the larger store in Bloomington Normal? I love it. Shopping questions. So if you're looking for a store in Bloomington Normal that is the largest, which is the larger? Is it number 1, Sam's Club? Number 2, Mayer? Number 3, Lowe's? 4, Home Depot? Or Target? Number 5. Let me go through those again. You're looking for the larger store in Bloomington Normal. Sam's, Mayer's, or Myers, Lowe's is number 3, number 4 is Home Depot, and number 5, Target. 1 is Sam's, 2 is Myers, 3 is Lowe's, 4 is Home Depot, 5 is Target. Are you ready for the answer? Here we go. No contest. The Myers store takes up more than 5 acres. My goodness. And that is the largest store in the Bloomington Normal area. Well, let's see what else went on in history today, July 12th, the 193rd day of 2019. Oh my goodness, 172 days left in the year. Well, on this date in 1984, the Democratic presidential candidate Walter F. Mondale announced his choice of U.S. Representative Geraldine Ferraro of New York to be his running mate. Ferraro was the first woman to run for vice president on a major party ticket. And back in 1543, good old Henry VIII, he was busy getting married with his sixth wife and his last, Catherine Pear. Divorced, beheaded, survived. Divorced, beheaded, died. So those were the counts of his wives. But today's day was for Catherine Parr back in 1543. Well, as part of the Civil War in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed a bill authorizing the Army Medal of Honor. And in 1960, oh my goodness, the Etch-a-Sketch magic screen drawing toy was invented. This was by a French electrician, André Cassin, whose first produced by the Ohio Art Company in 1960. Can you believe that in 62, the Rolling Stones played their first gig ever at the Marquee in London? In 67, rioting erupted in Newark, New Jersey over the police beating a black taxi cab driver, and 26 people were killed in the 5 days of violence that followed. If you were around in 2005, Prince Albert II of Monaco acceded the throne of the 700-year dynasty. And the thought we have for today is a man who fears suffering is already suffering from what he fears. And this was by Michel de Montaigu, French philosopher from 1533 to 1592. Let's look on and see what other things we can find in this first half. In our last few minutes here of the first half hour, let's briefly go through some of the digest headlines. Wall Street sets another record. We'll read about that a little later on. Here's Iran ships attempt to block a UK tanker. This is out of the United Arab Emirates. The British Navy said Thursday it stopped 3 Iranian paramilitary vessels from disrupting the passage of a British oil tanker through the Straits of Hormuz in a brief but tense standoff stemming from the UK's role in seizing an Iranian supertanker a week earlier. The incident highlights how fragile maritime security has become through one of the world's most vital energy supply routes as the Trump administration carries out a campaign of maximum pressure on Iran. Iran recently began breaching uranium enrichment limits set in its 2015 nuclear deal with world powers in response to President Trump's decision to pull the U.S. out of the accord a year ago. He also has reimposed tough sanctions on Tehran's oil exports, exacerbating the economic crisis that has sent its economy tumbling. And briefly, we find that prescription costs after 2 weeks setbacks this week, President Trump is now focusing his drive to curb drug prices on congressional efforts aimed at helping people on Medicare and younger generations covered by work plans. On the 4th of July, President Donald Trump's 4th of July extravaganza featuring tanks, military flyover, and a Trump speech at the Lincoln Memorial cost an estimated $5.4 million, according to rough figures released Thursday. Trump announced Monday he would do it all again next year, calling the event remarkable. There was a coup attempt in Sudan. Sudan's ruling military council said it foiled an attempted military coup Thursday, just days after the military had and a pro-democracy coalition agreed on a joint sovereign council to rule the country during a transition period between until elections could be held. On the Korean Peninsula, North Korea slammed South Korea over its ongoing deployment of high-tech U.S. fighter jets, warning Thursday that it will respond by developing and testing unspecified special weapons of its own to destroy the aircraft. Twitter was down for about an hour Thursday afternoon in an outage that appeared to affect users around the world. The company blamed an internal configuration change. The disruption appeared to affect both web and mobile app users. According to Down Detector, a website that tracks outages, problems were reported from the U.S., Europe, and elsewhere. In the 9/11 Victims Fund, $10.2 billion, that's the cost estimate issued Thursday by Congressional Budget Office for compensating the people who are still dying and sick from their exposure following the terrorism attack of September 11, 2001. It covers the next 10 years. The House is expected to vote today on a new bill to renew that September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. And at this point, we're going to take a short break and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, July the 12th. So please stay tuned.